or half the tribe of Gad and Manasseh, and they were discouraging God's people from moving forward. Then we talked about the valley of disobedience, and that was Achan there, where he had disobeyed the Lord and took of the accursed thing. We talked about the valley of deception. There was Samson. And then last week we covered the valley of doubt with Saul trying to cast doubt upon David serving the Lord. And we talked about how the only way to get through the valley of doubt is to press forward in faith and to trust that God is going to use us to do His work. Now this week we're going to look at another valley, and this is going to be called the Valley of Despair. The Valley of Despair. Now, look at verse number 1, and we'll give you a little bit of the context. We're going to read the whole chapter here, and then we'll pray. Verse 1, how amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts? The word amiable means loved or well loved. So how loved are thy tabernacles? How well loved are thy tabernacles? Or we would say even how lovely are thy tabernacles? How lovely is the house of God? Verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. So here he's desiring to go to the house of God. And of course, we know the church is a New Testament organization that God has, Jesus Christ started when he was here on earth. But we can see that this is a foreshadow of the church to come. Verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found a house and the swallow a nest for herself where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee, Selah. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them. And then our text verse is verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. We'll break down what Baca means here in just a moment. They go from strength to strength. So just like the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 1 that we grow from faith to faith, in Romans chapter 10 as well, from faith to faith, here in Psalms 84 we grow from strength to strength. So as we grow in the Lord, our strength ought to grow as well. Meaning now, as a mature child of God, you ought to be able to handle more than when the day that you got saved. As you grow in the Lord, you're able to handle more burdens, you're able to bear more things for the cause of Christ, you're able to balance more things with the ministry and do more for God. So we grow from strength to strength. You would not put, and of course one of the qualifications of being a pastor is not a novice. You would not put the church under the responsibility of a newborn Christian, a newborn child of God. It doesn't make any sense to do that. He can't bear that. He doesn't have the strength. He doesn't have the wherewithal for that. But as we grow in the Lord, as we're faithful to church, as we're faithful to the house of God, look forward to being in the house of God, we grow from strength to strength. And this is biblical here. Just going verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept. So, they go in verse 7 from strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob, Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. And then, of course, we use this regularly. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Here the psalmist is saying, I'd rather be an usher in the house of God. I'd rather be a greeter, a door greeter in the house of God than to live my life in the tents of the wicked, dwelling in the foolishness of this world. I know where God saved me from and what God has in store for my life. And the fact of what I'm doing today for God is far better than anything I ever did in the world. It's what the psalmist is saying in verse 10. Verse 11, for the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. That is a promise made by God to His children. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Let's talk about the Valley of Despair tonight. Let's pray. Father, we love You again. We thank You for the truth of the Word of God. Lord, there's so many different avenues that I would love to go and preach on several of these different passages and so many different truths that we would like to get to. But Lord, help us to stay focused on the truth that You want to share tonight, on how we can make it through the valley of despair or the valley of Baca, where we have many a times no hope and it looks like there's no tomorrow, there's no way out. And I pray that You'd help us to understand the truths from Your Word tonight that we can apply to our lives. Bless us, use us. We ask You, Saints, Your name we pray. Amen. Now you'll notice again, verse 6, who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well, the rain also filleth the pool. So this valley of despair despair, the Valley of Baca, represents in our lives the valleys of sorrow and the valley of suffering. Many a times you're going to go through some trials in your life. You're going to go through some sorrows of life. You're going to go through some suffering in your life. And you're going to get to the point of despair where you feel literally like you have no hope. You feel literally like there is no way out of this valley. We talk about oftentimes when you're going through a trial, that keep your head up because there's light at the end of the tunnel. We've used that phrase regularly in times past, and you've probably used it in your own life, in your own illustrations. But in life, sometimes you go through the trials, and sometimes you may even have the darkest of nights where you look up and it doesn't seem like any light at all. You can't see anything ahead. You're lost in the middle of everything. And again, you're filled with nothing but despair. Despair is a lack of hope. You have no hope that you're ever going to come out of the sorrow, that you're ever going to come out of the suffering. You go through a valley not just of depression or not just of discouragement, but of utter despair. Now, people talk a lot about discouragement, and people talk a lot about depression, but very few people actually get to that low point of no hope where they're in that valley of despair. I was talking to Brother Matt Miller here recently when he was here for our missions conference, and he was sharing some different things with me and some trials that they were going through during the church in some of the early days and some of the different things that were taking place when they had to sell their buildings and get new things. And he said he went through months of just depression. And he said, at one point I was even contemplating just quitting the ministry altogether. I was just in a very, very dark part of my life. Very, very dark point. And I was going through that valley. And this is exactly what the Word of God's talking about. That valley of Baca would be that very low point where you feel like there is no hope whatsoever. Where you feel like there's no way out. But we need not to get to the point of despair, but we need to understand rather that God has a plan and God has a purpose for the trial that He is currently bringing our way. Now, we don't always understand it, and I can't stand up here and tell you that I have all the answers because I don't. Nobody does. The Word of God does. We have the Word of God, and the Word of God has all of the answers. But I can't sit here and tell you exactly why you're going through the trials and the hard times that you're going through. We've got a couple of church members right now, a couple of folks that are just battling some very, very strong storms in their lives where they don't even know exactly what's going to become of all of it at the end. But we're to pray. We're to encourage. We're to try to be a blessing. We're to point others to Christ, understanding that He has a plan and He has a purpose. This psalm, Psalm chapter number 84, is literally a psalm of pilgrims. Now notice, we're going to get to it here in just a moment. In verse 6, it says, who passing through. And we're going to get to it in just a moment, exactly what that means. But this is a song of pilgrims. They're making a journey to the house of God. What does verse 1 say? How amiable are thy tabernacles? He says in verse 2, my soul longeth, yea, even fainteth. He said, I'm about to pass out. I've got to get to church. I've got to get to the house of God. I've got to get where God's people are at. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. He says in verse 3, yea, the sparrow hath found a house and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. He said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. He said, listen, the animals even have houses. The sparrow have houses. The birds have a place to put their young. And I'm just trying to get to the altar of God. That's where I want to be. I want to be in the presence of God. I want to be in God's house. And then he tells us, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee and whose heart are the ways of them. Many of you, you've worked all day long. You worked a job. And you're exhausted. Some of you work multiple jobs, but you found time to come to church tonight. Why? Because you have a desire to be in the house of God. You have a desire to come where you know you're going to get refreshed, where you know you're going to get taught the Word of God, where you know you're going to learn the truths of the Word of God. Why? Because this is a place where we need to be. We need to dwell in the house of God. It's a beautiful place to be. See, they were headed to a good place. They were headed to a place filled with the anticipation of what was going to happen. But on the way there, they traveled through a valley. And in your life, sometimes you're going to be having a good decision to follow the Lord. And sometimes you're going to make these choices to head into a good direction for the cause of Christ. And sometimes you're going to set those things before you in your life. But sometimes you're going to have to go through the valley in order to get there. And these valleys are very real. Notice, this was not an easy valley to go through. There were difficulties that they were going to be encountered, but there were also blessings that they anticipated on the other side. I've used this verse time and again. Write it down, memorize it, make it a part of your life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Listen, the only way that we can endure some things in this Christian life is we've got to have some joy set before us. We have got to have something set before on the other side of that valley, on the other side of that trial, on the other side of that hard time. We've got to have something that we're looking forward to. Here for the psalmist, he was looking forward to getting out of the mess that he was in and getting to the house of God. And we've got to have something set before us so that we can be able to endure the trials, endure the hard times. By the way, that's an example that was given to us by our Savior. He is God in the flesh. And if God in the flesh did that by way of example for us, then who are we to think that we can go through the trial nilly-willy and not have something set before us? Think we can make it through there on our own? No, we have to have something bigger than us set on the other side. And that is doing the will of God, doing the work of God. Now in this chapter, before we get into the message here, we find three things. In verse number 4, we find the blessing of dwelling in God's house. He said, blessed are they that dwell in thy house. We find the blessing of dwelling in God's house. Now there is delight, there's always delight being in the house of God. There's always delight. There's something exciting about being able to come to the house of God. Excuse me. There's something enjoyable about being able to come to church and knowing that you're going to be able to shake somebody's hand and somebody's going to smile and somebody's going to greet you and somebody's going to try to encourage you in the things of God. This is the one place that we can go to get encouragement. You don't get encouragement at your job. Many times people don't get encouragement at their home. And this is the one place that we can come to and we can get encouraged in the things of God. And there's a blessing in coming to the house of God. Also, in verse number 5, we see the blessing of drawing on God's strength. Notice verse 5 says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee. The man's strength was not in himself. The man's strength was in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our strength is not our own. Our strength is only found in the Word of God and in the will of God. Understand and discover that God's power will never fail you. So we need to delight in being in His house, but also we need to discover that His power will never fail us. And then we see in verse number 12, the blessing of depending on God's provision. He said in verse 11, no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. Verse 12, O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in Thee. Understand, you are never going to be disappointed by God's blessings. Never. You're never going to be disappointed by the blessings of God. And we are going to, as long as we depend on God's provisions, God will always take care of our needs. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse number 19, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches through Christ Jesus our Lord. God's always going to provide. I can't always explain the whys because the whys don't always make sense. But I can tell you this, that God says that we are to tithe and give Him 10% and live on the 90. And I'll tell you that living on 90% is far better than living on 100%. God will make sure that you are taken care of. God will make sure that you're provided for. I know that to be the case in my life time and time again. Now here in verse 6, they travel through the valley of Baca. The word Baca, it's an interesting word, but it means weeping. So this is literally the valley of weeping or the valley of tears. So here they're traveling through this valley that was no doubt going to bring weeping into their lives. It was no doubt going to bring sorrow into their life. It was going to bring tears into their lives. It was a hard time that they had to go through in order to get to the other side. Now there's going to be some times where we go through valleys and it seems like there is no purpose whatsoever for continuing on. It's going to seem like we've gotten to the end of our rope. It's going to seem like we've lost all hope. But here in this specific valley, there's some truths that we can learn that will sustain us and will strengthen us Because remember, your Bible says in verse 7, they go from strength to strength. See, the strength that you got on Sunday when you came to church and you heard the Word of God preached, the strength that you got from the message of God, it was not enough to last you till today. You had to read your Bible on a daily basis. You've got to get into the Word of God to be able to go from strength to strength. The strength that you have on a daily basis will not last you to the next day and the next day and the next day. You've got to go to God for new strength each and every day. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness in Lamentations chapter number 2 and 3. But here, three truths I want you to notice here in verse number 6 specifically. We're just going to dissect this one verse. Three truths that will sustain you and strengthen you as you go through this valley. Again, the valley of despair is a valley nobody wants to go through. It's a valley of weeping. It's a valley of tears. It's a valley of hard times. Those are guaranteed. It's going to happen. And we're going to see that here in verse number 6. First thing I want you to notice is in verse number 6, this is a place of pilgrimage. This valley is a place of pilgrimage. I told you this is a psalm of pilgrims. Notice the wording, the verbiage that's used. It says, who passing through the valley of Baca. Here he says, who passing through, meaning they weren't going to stay there a long time, meaning that they didn't have a tent that they pitched up and set camp right there in the valley. No, no, they were just passing through. It was momentarily. It was not going to be for a lengthy period of time. But we need to understand there's two aspects about this pilgrimage. Number one, it's tough and it's difficulty. Some things that you experience in life are just going to be plain out tough. There's no way around it. There's no way to sugarcoat it. There's no way to put icing on it. I mean, you can put lipstick on a pig and it doesn't make it any prettier, okay? The fact is, there are some things in life that you're going to face that are just downright tough. They're just hard. Now, the Bible does say, listen, the Bible does say the way of the transgressor is hard. So I understand that as we continue to live in sin, yes, our lives will be difficult and there will be hard things because we're constantly fighting against the Holy Spirit of God. But there are going to be times as you follow Christ that things just get difficult. How did God grow the church in the book of Acts? He sent persecution. Do you think it was persecution they enjoyed? I've never met persecution that I've enjoyed. I would like to meet that one day. I've never met persecution that I've enjoyed. You won't meet persecution that is good persecution. But the persecution that God allowed for them to go through was persecution that drove them to fulfill the Great Commission. Okay? So yes, some things were tough. The difficulties did arise, but they were able to fulfill the will of God. So understand, as we go through this pilgrimage of life, some things are just going to be tough in their difficulty. They're going to cause much weeping. Sometimes you may get a phone call from a family member about a trial and a hard time that you're going through, and it's going to cause you to weep with them. The Bible says, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that do weep. And so, yes, as a child of God, you're going to weep with your brothers and your sisters, and you're going to weep with those that are going through trials. Sometimes you may go through things that you don't know what to do other than to cry. And then you cried so much it feels like you can't muster up any more tears. But they just keep coming and they just keep coming. And you're going through a valley. Sometimes these difficulties may be physical in nature. It could be a disease or a sickness. It could be a physical infirmity. Or it could be a disability that you're facing. I don't know. It could be a physical difficulty. Sometimes these difficulties may be emotional in nature. Perhaps the loss of a loved one. It's a very emotional, difficult situation. Emotionally difficult situation. Because there's so many different feelings and emotions that you process with the loss of a loved one. I remember when we lost my mom, she passed away. Yes, we were preparing for different things. And I even told my wife I didn't believe that she was going to make it all the way to Christmas. But it was still sudden. And there were still things that were left unsaid. And there were still things that you wish you could have done differently. All right, so anytime you have a loss of a loved one, you're going to process every one of those emotions. Well, maybe I should have done this. Or maybe I should have stepped in here. Or maybe I shouldn't have said this. Or these were my last words to them and I regret those things. Whatever it may be, it could be an emotional difficulty that you're facing. With the loss of a loved one or a family division even. Some families get torn up. And some families get broken. And then there's an emotional hurt because of the last things that my children remember me saying to them or to their father. It could be a financial valley that you're facing. Loss of income or financial reversal. Those play extreme difficulties upon our emotions. We begin to wonder, how am I going to provide for my family? How am I going to do this? How are we going to make ends meet? How am I going to put food on the table? You begin to stress emotionally. So some difficulties may be physical. Some difficulties may be emotional. But also some difficulties may be spiritual in nature. Maybe battling against the sin that you have in your life. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, 1, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Every one of us have a besetting sin. Every one of us has something in our lives that if Satan were to bring it to us, every single time it causes us to fall back. Every single time it causes us to begin to backslide. It's a besetting sin. So maybe you have a sin that you're battling in your life and you feel like you're not making any headway. You're continually confessing it to God. You're continually giving it over to God. And with everything inside of you, you say, I believe that I'm repenting and I have all intention to keep the promise that I've made to God, but I keep going back to it. Could be a spiritual sin, a spiritual valley, spiritual difficulty that you're facing. Regardless of its physical, emotional, spiritual, this valley experience will truly be a valley of weeping, that valley of Baca, where the tears are shed. Maybe this place of pilgrimage is not tough in its difficulty, but it's also tough in its duration. Understand this. It says here they were passing through the valley. It may be tough, but remember this. It's only temporary. It's only temporary. The Bible tells us about in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6, that if need be, we are in manifold temptations, though now for a season, the Bible says. I don't know, your season may be a little bit longer than others. Here in Oklahoma, we don't experience the season of fall very long. Some seasons are short. Some seasons are very long. You know, summer begins tomorrow, and it goes all the way till December 25th. And we may not have fall at all. So some seasons are longer than others. I don't know the duration. But the Bible says, who passing through the valley of Baca, meaning this pilgrimage will not last. There will be an end result. We're merely passing through for just a time. So here we notice it's a valley. This valley is a place of pilgrimage. Secondly, it's a place of profitability. Not only is it a place of pilgrimage, it's also a place of profitability. You say, how do you see that? Who passing through the valley of Baca, notice the next four words, make it a well. One of the first things that the children of Israel would do, and even in the olden times, anybody would do when they would come to a land, one of the first things they would do is they would begin to dig a well. Why? Because they had to have a source of fresh water. They had to have a place they can go for some nourishment. Here, we need to understand that this is likened unto the fact that there is always profit in tragedy that we face. You say, how is there profit in tragedy? Hold your place here. Go to 1 Corinthians. Let me show you something. 1 Corinthians, chapter number 1. Now, these verses do not mention tragedy, but let me show you exactly how there can be profitability in tragedy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse number 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Where does grace come from? It comes from God. Where does peace come from? It comes from God. Verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf. Why? For the grace of God which is given you. How do we get grace? Grace is unmerited favor. Grace is giving us what we do not deserve. That would be blessings. How can we get blessings? How can we get what we don't deserve from God? Sometimes it's going through the trials. Sometimes it's going through the valleys. Here, it's a place of profitability. I'm reminded of Horatio Spafford. Many of you know the famous hymn that we sing regularly around here. It's one of the favorites of the church. It is well with my soul. Horatio Spafford was a businessman. He's the guy that wrote the song. He was a businessman there in Chicago back in the early 1800s. And they had, of course, Chicago was a place where they would go for the Chicago World's Fair and all the different things that was taking place there. But Chicago had a great fire that had broken out. there in the area. And Horatio Spafford's business had literally gone up in flames. He had lost everything. He had taken and sent his wife to go be with family there in New York for a time, but then they shipped them over to England or Scotland, the area over there. He sent them over to the motherland in Europe, sent them over there across the Atlantic. And he was going to revisit them several weeks later when he got everything worked out back with his business, insurance claims, all the different things. So he sends them on. There's some problems that happen while they're on the boat. They collide with another ship. The ship goes down. His wife is the only one that was saved from the boat. And she had got rescued with those that had come in. They lost all three of their children. She had got to the other side, and she sent a telegram back to her husband with the two words, "Saved alone." He immediately gets on a boat and secures a ticket and goes across. He had talked with the captain of the boat at the time and told him, "When we get close to the area where my family passed away, let me know." And he begins to go just based on the judgment of what they had believed to be the location. And the captain had come to him and told him, "We are about at the place where your children passed away, where they were taken at sea." Horatio Spafford said, "Thank you." He retreats back to his room in the boat. He begins to sit down and he pins the words right there above where his children died. He pins the words to "It is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Then he gets to the other side, of course, reunites with his wife. You say, how can somebody do that? I can only say it's the peace of God. And it's the grace of God that God gives during those trials. You see, this is a hymn that has been a blessing to generations of God's people. It is easily one of my favorite hymns in the hymn book. One of the ones that I love. But this was a hymn that was birthed out of tragedy. And sometimes we look at trials and we look at hard times and we wonder, why must we go through these things? I've got this written down in multiple locations. I heard a preacher say this one time, and it's this truth here. God hurts deeply those that He wants to use greatly. Sometimes God's going to hurt deeply those that He wants to use greatly. Sometimes it's only through the deepest hurts that we can be able to be a help to others in the coming days. I can't always tell you why God may allow for somebody to lose a child in childbirth. But it may be that God wants to use them to be a testimony to somebody else to bring them to Christ. We never know. But understand, as we go through the valley of Baca, it is difficult, yes, but it's only temporary. This is a place of pilgrimage, but it's also a place of profitability. Thirdly and lastly in verse 6, it is also a place of promise. It's a place of pilgrimage. It's a place of profitability. There's something God wants us to learn, yes. But also understand it is a place of promise. Notice the last part of the verse. Who passing through the valley of Baca make it a well, the rain also filleth the pools. Here we see the Bible says specifically the rain filleth the pools. Now listen, the valleys in life may be formed simply by human hands or by trekking over a path regularly. We go to church camp and we have different paths that lead to different areas. We have an area where we go to the tabernacle, and leading to the tabernacle, they have the old sawdust trail. You kids know it. So those guys, we know to get, there's a shortcut through the woods where a path has been made because people have for years walked a different route to get there. It's not covered with the sawdust, but there is a path that has been worn down just over time. Sometimes there's some valleys and some paths in lives that are just used over and over again. And they may be created, quote unquote, by human hands. But understand this, what your Bible says. The rain also filleth the pools. Man cannot make rain. I don't care how many people you got out there doing an Indian rain dance. Man cannot make rain. God's the only one that can make rain. Listen, man can make the valley and man can make the path, but only God can bring the blessing of rain. So there is still, in the midst of the valley that you face, yes, it's the valley of pilgrimage. Yes, it's the valley of profitability, but it's a valley that has promise attached to it as well. Only God can send the rain in our lives. If we go to 2 Corinthians, and you don't have to go there, I'll just read it for you real quick because we need to wrap up. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Where is God's strength made perfect? In our weakness. That's why the next verse says we grow from strength to strength. Because it's in our own weakness that we find the strength of God. And we can't do this valley in our own strength. We have to have His strength. We go from strength to strength. And we take that next step spiritually. You see, as we encounter these valleys of despair on our journey through life, we must remind ourselves that they are not a permanent condition. We must remind ourselves that God has a reason. We must remind ourselves that God can make this a place of blessing, not just for us, but for somebody else in the future. And we also need to remind ourselves that God will send us all that we need to be able to successfully navigate that valley and to emerge on the other side a more mature and faithful child of God. Because He's the one that's going to bring the rain. He's going to fill the pools in that valley. He's going to give us the sustenance that we need. And we can go to countless places in Scripture. You can go to Elijah as he was by the brook Cherith. What did God do? God sent a raven to bring food to him. God provided him food. God provided him water. When it got to a point to where all the water dried up, what did God do? God sent him to the woman there at Zarephath. The widow woman, she was about to make a final cake and her son were going to die. He said, "Make me a cake first." That's selfish, ain't it? No, it wasn't. That's exactly what God wanted them to do. He said, "Make me a cake first." And never once did she run out of oil or flour. Why? Because it was a place of promise. Yes, it was a valley they may not have understood at the time. But during that valley of despair, there is hope. And we need to understand these truths because one day we're going to go through a valley where it seems like there's no hope. It seems like it's difficult. And we've got to be able to put our faith and trust in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Stand with me with heads bowed and eyes closed. This valley of despair, the valley of Baca, here, they were looking forward to getting to the house of God. They were looking forward to doing something great for the cause of Christ. But in order to do that, they had to go through a valley. They had to go through a hard time. We set some great goals as a church, individually in your own personal life. Just almost 3 months ago now, you set goals to grow spiritually on Vision Sunday. At the beginning of January, you set New Year's goals. How are those goals? You face some valleys. Are you growing from strength to strength? Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for the truths of the Word of God. Help us to apply them to our lives. Use us, guide us. Help us, Lord, to be able to make it through these valleys. We ask these things in Your name and pray. Amen. As the pianist plays, You come.